As we open our word today, we're going to be looking at a word that's fairly familiar, a word that most of us know, and it's from the book of Matthew in the 13th chapter. And I've entitled this message, we're going to be in the tares of the tares among the wheat, which is verse 24 is where it's going to start, and then we're going to go through 43, okay? Now, I'm going to jump a little bit because I'm going to leave out the mustard seed and the leaven. We'll get to them later. But we're going to start here in 24, and then we're going to jump over to 36 because that's where he explains it. Okay? Jesus is sympathetic to us ignorant people. What does ignorant mean? Not knowing. It's not a bad word. All right? So many people think the word ignorant is a bad word because it's used wrong. All right? Used correctly, it's a very pragmatic statement. Because I'll tell you right now, I are ignorant, all right, of many things. It simply means I don't know. There's a lot of things I don't know. And I'll only admit that here and once. And Lynn, you did not hear me say that. She'll remind me of that for the next 30 years. My poor wife, she gets beat on so badly. Believe me, she pays it back double. Rightly so. Amen, guys. Amen. Well, today we're going to be in here, and like I said, I've entitled it Bringing in the Sheaves. We all know that hymn, right? Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, there's some sheaves that ain't going to be rejoicing when they're brought in. And that's what this parable is about. And we need to understand it in God's time and in God's way. So let's go before Him and ask Him for understanding, okay? Gracious Lord, we come before You as an ignorant people. Because, Lord, we have been tainted with sin. But we know that through the power of Your Holy Spirit, You can cast out that sin and grant us understanding. For Your Spirit speaks to our spirit, and we know the things of God, the things that we are to know. For there are mysteries yet, Lord, that need to be figured out. But we are too immature yet to know them. So into these things that we may know, Father, pour out Your understanding through the power of Your Holy Spirit and grant us that wisdom. And Lord, I pray that You would pour it out upon this pastor as well, that as I utter the words, that they are the words of Christ and Christ alone, that no word of man would seep in here. For Father, there is only wisdom and understanding and truth in You. So may You guide my spirit. I yield it up to You, Lord. Speak truth, and may Your word be emulated in all our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, one of the things that I want to do before I start reading this is simply say that in this world there will always be opposition. Would you say amen to that? Anytime something good is going to happen, something bad is going to come against it, right? Because that's the world we live in, because Satan is the prince of the air in this world. This is his dominion. So we need to understand that comes at us at all times. With that, let's begin, if you would, in verse 24 of the 13th chapter. And it says, Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. The slaves of the landowner came and said to him, Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, An enemy has done this. The slaves said to him, Do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, No. For while you are gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, First gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up. but gather the wheat into my barn. Blessed be the word of the Lord. Amen. But the Lord knew that we were ignorant, not understanding the things of the Spirit. Because remember, at this time, the Holy Spirit wasn't set loose. The Holy Spirit was not sent from heaven. So these people were having a hard time understanding it. And sometimes we have a little bit of a hard time understanding it too. And that's where we need to pray. Amen? Because in the Holy Spirit, He'll bring revelation. But praise be to God, He understands that we still lack a little bit. How many of us are lacking? Am I the only one? Okay. I'm in good company or bad company? I guess it depends, right? So Jesus gives us the interpretation. Look over to verse 36. And I think this is neat because did He explain it to everybody? The answer to that question is no. Then He left the crowds and went into the house, and His disciples came to Him and said, "Explain." Okay, that's one of my phraseology. Explain. When somebody says something, I always tell them, explain. You don't get off with the Jesus answer, all right? You got to tell me what you mean. So they said, "Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field." And He said to them, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Jesus gives the explanation. And in that explanation, we can see many things that are truth. And we can understand some of the players in this parable. Because remember, there are characters in every parable. One of the characters that is spoken of here is the man who sowed the seed. And in this instance, Jesus says, "That's me." He's talking about Himself, not Pastor Rich. That's Jesus saying, "That's me. I am the Son of God. I'm the Son of God, and I'm out here. I am the sower." He brings that first seed, okay? We need to understand there are people who have come after Jesus. I'm one of them. We're giving the message of the Word. But whose Word is it? Jesus' Word. He is the teacher. I'm a disciple. I'm bringing nothing new. I didn't put new seed out there. I just have the seed Jesus gave me and continues to give me, and I'm using that seed. There's one teacher, Jesus Christ. Okay? We need to understand that all of us who are out there in the world, you know, Brother David, when he's out there, you know, like we said the other week, you know, Brother Steve said all the way down in Reading, they know Brother David is the Reverend. Okay? So his reputation goes before him as what? A sower of the good seed. Amen? That's what we need to remember. That's what you are. Missy, when you're having a Bible study, you are a sower of good seed. Very good. Awesome. Mitch, when you're out there giving out those Bibles, you are a sower of good seed. Not just seed, sower of the good seed. Put that good in there, right? Blessed on the... how does that say that? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Okay, so it's good seed, good news. Okay? So when we're out there and we're bringing that good news, boy, I'll tell you what, some people just don't like good news though, do they? Some people just don't like good news. If you went up to somebody and said, "Oh man, can you believe it? We got an inch and a half of rain last night," they'd probably think I'm nuts. "Wow, that's not a good thing." Yes, it is. Without it, it's called a drought. God blesses us. A lot of it has to do with our attitude, amen? He is the sower of good seed. The next thing that he tells us is that there is, and again, that good seed, which in this parable, the good seed that he's speaking of, that's the sons of man. We're talking about kingdom here, right? Because here he's not talking, the seed isn't the word. He's putting out good seed and it's growing. That's us. We're that good seed, the sons of God. All right? Because that's what he says over here. The good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. Now that's important because we have to look at something here in just a minute. We need to understand that what he is sowing, that's us. He's putting his word into us and we become seed into the kingdom. And what does seed do? It grows and then it does what? Produces more seed. Okay? We need to understand that. We're supposed to be producing seed. That's fruit. We're supposed to be producing fruit. Okay? We need to understand this in the way that it's being given. All right? Because each of us is going to produce fruit in our lives. 30, 60, 100 fold from what was given to us. We're going to produce fruit. We need to understand he's talking about wheat and tares. What is the fruit of wheat? It's a seed. It's still fruit. We're going to be good fruit producers because this is a good fruit, bad fruit kind of thing. All right? We need to understand. Talking wheat and tares, this is a good fruit, bad fruit. We're going to understand that just a little bit more. But then he goes on, he says, and this field. And then he gives us the field. Now, this is where things get confusing, okay? This is where things can get confusing. He says, here's this field. And then Jesus, in verse 38, what does he say? And the field is the... Well, now, wait a minute. Isn't this a kingdom, a parable about the kingdom? So why didn't Jesus say, because he says that the good seed are the sons of the kingdom, not the sons of the world, sons of the kingdom. But down here he says that the field is the, I'm asking you to respond with me. Come on now, talk to me, people. The field is the world. Okay, now if Jesus is talking kingdom things and now he's talking world, what does it matter if there's tares growing out there in the world because Satan's running this world? We know that's going to happen. So why is the kingdom being compared to this? Because one of the things that we need to understand, remember what I told you the first time we started this? We have to think about this in a spiritual level because if we think about it too critically, it breaks down. All right? He says it can be compared to. He doesn't say it is. Okay, it can be compared to. So when he's talking about the field is the world, he's literally talking about something here that I want you all to understand. Where was the kingdom of God prior to Christ's coming? You see, this is something we don't often think about. Where is the kingdom of God prior to Christ's coming? It was in Sheol. It was in the grave, people. Even now, while he's teaching, the kingdom is in the grave. You're all thinking, what? Yeah, where was Abraham's bosom? In Sheol. Sheol is the grave. And in Sheol was Abraham's bosom and hell, Hades. Hades is still there. Sheol has been emptied of Abraham's bosom, and those people were ushered into heaven. But the kingdom, that was the only place it dwelt. You had to die to get into it. But Jesus now says, it's the world. Whoa, man, I got goosebumps. Do you see them?
I see them.
Oh, my gosh. The kingdom's in the world. Something happened. Jesus said, the kingdom is here. With his coming, with his preaching, with his opening up the gospel of Jesus Christ, it now became a physical reality other than just a spiritual reality. Because in death, in spirit, was the only way you could experience the kingdom before. Now, he says, the kingdom is in this world. It's physical. It's real. You can experience it now. You don't have to die. How many of you want to be kingdom livers? You can do it right now, which means you can receive the promises of the kingdom. You can receive every promise that God gave Israel. Israel was supposed to be living in the kingdom here and now, but because they would not do what they were told to do, the only way they got to experience it was through death. Because the law brings If they'd have been righteous people, the kingdom of God would have been here on earth. He dwelt among them to show it to them. But rather than accepting him, they manipulated the law. So we need to understand, when he's talking here, he's talking to you and I in a very real way. The kingdom is here, it's now, and it is alive and it is well, and we are in it. And in it, there are both the good seed and there are tares. Because he says that his enemy came and sowed tares. Well, who's the enemy? We know him by name. Lucifer, the devil, Satan. You know, he has many other names throughout history. But Jesus identifies him very clearly. He says the enemy who sowed is the devil. Okay? The accuser. The accuser. And when you and I understand, and we know, how much do we know that the evil one is out there planting seed? But one of the things I want you to understand is he's now talking about the devil is planting seed in the church. I don't want you to think that there's just good seed in a church, because there's bad seed in the church. All we have to do is go down the road. Just the other day, I'm driving down the road and I came across the sign and it said, God is still speaking, with a comma. Because it means that he is continually bringing more. Everybody turn to the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation. Keep your finger there in Matthew, because we're coming back. I say that after I have you turn, right? Book of Revelation, chapter 22. Book of Revelation, chapter 22. Verse 18. This I love. I testify to anyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in his book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, and the grace of the Lord be with you all. Amen. Period. There's no comma. The comma that is being spoken of is the people who are adding and taking away. And to them, the plagues of this whole thing is going to be added, because it's speaking to them. This speaks about that happening. The whole book of Revelation speaks of the turmoil and the turbulence and the stuff that's going to happen at the end times. And we're getting closer to it all the time. And it's understanding that those people are going to be in this tribulation, whether it be the tribulation of eternal hell or the tribulation that God pours out in his judgment upon the earth and upon those who don't believe. Okay? I don't make this stuff up. Jesus knew what he was speaking in Matthew and poured it out in Revelation, in the final revelation. And he ends it with a period, not a comma. He's done talking, people. Now, I will tell you, Jesus is still speaking, but he's adding nothing new. He has spoken, he has sealed it, and it is done. The point is, are we going to pick it up and live by it, or are we going to try to manipulate it? Think about what they're doing right now genetically with grain. Almost all the grain in the United States is GMO. What's GMO? Genetically modified organisms. Isn't that amazing? We all know what GMO is. 20 years ago, if I'd asked you what GMO is, you'd all looked at me and said, what is it, a sneaker company? Car dealership? What is it? We all know what it is because we're playing God. We're playing God with the very order of things. Do you know that's the way it was in Noah's day? I want you to think about this, folks. It says in the Bible that in those days it will be as it was in the days of Noah. We're manipulating human genes. We're literally cutting, this is amazing to me, we are literally cutting DNA from pigs and goats and what have you and adding human DNA to it to see what it'll do. That's not a joke. The angels went to hell for that. The Nephilim were born into this world, the races of giants. Okay? Do you know that there are literally, and this is proven fact, go online, go through the research, you'll find it. There are people, there's a king in here, King Og. He was over 12 feet tall. Now, does that sound like somebody who had a growth hormone thing going on? No, he was a Nephilim. Because the Nephilim were the ruling class. All right? There are also reports, there are scientific reports, there are papers printed. There were skeletons found, and there have been thousands of them that have been suppressed, as high as 36 feet. You think I'm joking? You think I'm lying? Man, stone me. If you find me lying, stone me. All right? That's where I'm putting it. Kick me out. I'm telling you right now, this stuff is too fantastical. Far too fantastical. And yet we are doing the very same things. The Nephilim were destroyed. They're no longer here. But now we, mere mortals, have begun to do the things the angels did. We're manipulating DNA. We are manipulating the created because we want to be the creator. Isn't that Satan's lie? Isn't that Satan's lie? This thing has come full circle, people. We are here. But don't give up. Don't lose heart. Because there is a harvest getting ready to happen that, boy, I'm telling you right now, you know, you talk about a harvest party, I can't wait to get there. I'll be drinking good wine. How about it, Miss Amy? Yeah. I'll be drinking good wine, the wine Jesus makes. You know, he just, and the vats will fill right up. We ain't got to wait for it to age or ferment, and we won't even get drunk on it. That's the awesome thing, because we're going to be perfect. And you know, all the effect is gone, but the flavor's there. How miraculous is that? Because we'll be filled with the Spirit of God. But we need to understand that these tares are going to come up. And what are the tares? Well, I got some slides for you, because I want you to understand the tares. Ryan, if you would, put up the first slide. Because tares are hard to identify, okay? When you look at tares and you look at wheat, you see one and the same because it looks just like wheat. It's a grass plant, okay? You know, you can't look at a field before it fruits and tell that it's poisonous. Tares are poisonous. They'll kill you, okay? If eaten in enough quantity, it will make you sick enough, because this is an amazing thing. The grain actually ferments in your stomach with the acids in your stomach, and it causes a drunkenness. It creates an alcohol in your system, okay? So you feel about half drunk, but the amazing thing is the type of alcohol that it produces will kill you. Think about that, okay? How many of you want to eat some of that stuff? All right? So when you look at it, you can't tell the difference between the tares and the wheat, because when it first sprouts up, it looks the same. And he's talking about the church, because there are people in the church who look just like regular church folks. They do what regular church folks do. You know, when we pray, they bow their head, and when we stand up to sing, they raise their hands. Okay? They even read from Scripture. But they twist it. tweak it, and manipulate it, and deny it, and use it and abuse it to make the message that they want to hear. And as soon as they do that, it's poison. But you know what? When we're in this form, you can't tell, because you don't know what's wheat and you don't know what's tares. Because Jesus says it's by the fruit that you shall know it. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree can't bear good fruit. Gee, I think we just did that today, and I warned you all it was coming. Right, next slide, Ryan. When you look at wheat and you look at tares, which one's wheat and which one's tares? How many of you think this is wheat? I got one, two. I got two. How many of you think this is wheat? I got one, two, three, four, five, six. There's a lot of dead people in this room. Next slide, Ryan. Now, this is reversed because I couldn't get it the right way. When you look at wheat, it's a single solid column, and everything in there points up. When you look over here, see how it's divided? See the difference in the two? Even when it's green, you can't tell the difference so greatly. But when it dries, you can see it, because all the chaff starts to fall away, and it's recognizable for what it is. So in its early stage, it can fool a lot of people. But when it's ready to be eaten, you can tell what it is just by looking. And it's the same way in the church of Jesus Christ. And the poison from these people that pours into a church is a reason church discipline has to be real within the body of Jesus Christ. Because we cannot tolerate poison coming into the church. We can't sweep it under the carpet or ignore it and think it's going to go away. When there's bad behavior coming in, Jesus says, don't let a root grow up. All right? Now, we need to understand, here he's talking about the kingdom, and he's looking at the overall picture, and he's saying, I'm not going to roust them out. I'm not going to roust them out, lest I hurt some of my wheat that's out there. Okay? He's going to let it all grow up together until the end of times. Because one of the things we also need to understand, the Scripture says that God's not going to do anything until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. That means the tares have to come to full growth, ready to be harvested. In other words, the sin of the Gentiles has reached its fullness, and no more will be tolerated. Because everywhere that I've ever heard it taught, oh, that means when the last person's going to believe is going to believe. No. It's never meant that in history. It'll never mean that into the future. Every time God ever said the fullness has come in, he was talking about sin. Every time. So when we understand that the fullness of the sin of the Gentiles, how many people in the world are Gentiles? Anybody who isn't Jewish. Wrap your head around that. Miss Sally, we just sang that song. It said millions. We should change that to billions. Okay? Billions. 7.5 billion people on the planet today. 7.5 billion people on the planet today. That's billion with a B. Okay, that's nine zeros. I had to look that up, by the way. I wasn't quite sure. I thought it was 12, but it's nine zeros. So when we think about how many tares there are, how much would it tear up the church if they tried to go out there and pull out all the tares before? Jesus says, can't do that. Can't do that. I don't want you to damage the wheat. But we need to watch ourselves because we have a much smaller base. Now, does that mean that some of it won't slip in? No. Verily I say unto you, no. Because it will happen. Jesus speaks of it. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. We were just there today. 7, 15, Matthew 7 and 15. Now, this is just one of the places, because there are places where it speaks about false teachers. In 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5, it says that the people will no longer put up with sound doctrine, but will call to themselves teachers who will teach them all the things that their itching ears long to hear. Okay? It also tells us the same thing in 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3. But here, Jesus is speaking about it, and this is where I got the words earlier. He says, beware of the false prophets, from verse 15 in chapter 7. He says, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. In other words, they're going to come in looking, sounding, look just like one of us, praising the Lord, praying, doing all kinds of stuff, but the whole reason they're here is to devour us. Okay? And believe me, folks, they're in every church. They're in every church. It just, that's the way it is. Because the evil one, this is his place. He sows seed everywhere. And we need to understand that's going to happen. It's going to come in. And as it does, we need to try and rout it out. We need to try and bring a hedge against that. And that means to truly convert someone. I want you to understand that. We can convert them as long as they are yet living and breathing. Amen? And the power of the Holy Spirit is working on them. Amen? Because we can't do anything in and of ourselves. Amen? But as God worketh, so too the sower, the reapers of the field and the slaves, that's us, okay? When you look here, those who are going to be working it, we need to be those workers out there bringing that truth back to reality. Back to our story. So Jesus here is speaking to these people, and he's talking to them, and he's telling the disciples all this stuff, and he explains the tares. And believe me, the disciples knew what tares were. They understood this parable perfectly when it was explained to them. Okay? There was too much going on here when they started. But now they're beginning to get it, because now all of a sudden he's starting to talk about judgment. He explains to them who the players are and what the pieces are. He explains it to us. And I hope you get it now. Because we'll not know until the fruit starts to come up. Once the fruit starts, we can always nip it, right? What's the expression? Nip it in the... Because if you nip the bud, it can't produce fruit. A fruitless plant is harmless. Okay? We can't let it bear fruit. But then he says that these harvesters are going to come and they're going to reap. And there he's talking about angels. He's talking about the rapture. He's talking about the tribulation at this point in time. How many of us knew that Jesus spoke about the tribulation and the rapture? I think it's funny, because most of us, we don't put it together, but this is exactly what he's speaking of. Jesus is seeing 2,000 years into the future. He's seeing into our lives. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to happen tomorrow or 5 years from now or 10 years from now, but we know we're getting closer and closer all the time. And when we start seeing the really weird things going on around us, we're going to know we're even closer. Amen. But in this judgment, we need to understand this is real stuff. When Jesus speaks in parables throughout the scripture, when Jesus speaks in general, he almost always brings a warning about hell. Do you know there's the three subjects that Jesus spoke on the most? Do you know what they are? What are the three subjects that Jesus spoke on the most? Brother Bob? Hell, money, and heaven. Yeah, you got them all. Hell, money, and heaven. How would that be for a title of a book? You know, wouldn't that be neat if this thing was called Hell, Money, and Heaven? How many people would read it? Every person in the world would read that. because it drives our curiosity. Okay? We all want more money. We think we're all going to heaven, but many of us are going to find hell. Amen? Thank you for not saying amen. I was wondering how many people I could trip up on that one. Because we'll not know hell if we know Him. And if we are planted, if He has planted His seed in us and we have allowed it to grow. Amen? But the judgment that's coming here is a judgment that is beyond anything I pray that any of us will ever reap. But look what He says about the righteous. Look what He says in verse 43. And this is where I want you to draw your hope. This is what I want you to hang on to as we go out from here today. Because we need to understand, God has got a promise for each and every one of us. All right? It's going to cost us everything that we have to get into heaven. We've got to give it up. And we've got to take what Jesus has for us. But if we do, if we allow His seed to grow in us, if we allow the truth to grow in us, this is what He says about us. This is an awesome comment from our God. He says, then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Now I want you to think about something. When Moses saw the hinder parts of God, what happened to Moses? His face shone to the point that the people were so afraid of him, they made him put a veil over their face so they wouldn't see it. We're going to shine like the sun. That speaks of a righteousness that is ours, that will never, ever, ever fade. Okay? In the beginning, God said, let there be light. What happened in that moment? Does anybody know? And there was light. Yeah. It's that simple. God turned on His glory. That's all He did. He turned on His glory for all of everything to know Him. And when we get there, folks, get this. Please get this. Please get this. God breathed His breath into Adam. Okay? Whose breath? His breath. Nephesh. God's nephesh is in us. God's breath. And when we get to heaven, guess what happens to that nephesh? God turns it on. And the glory that's been there since the founding of the earth finally reaches its fullness. And we will shine like the sun. We're going to look like one of the stars. You know, in the scriptures, Jesus says, and I saw a third of the angels fall from heaven. Remember, the angels shine with the glory that God has given them of Himself. We're going to shine just like they do. And in fact, we'll shine better than they do because He apportions us a place higher than the angels. Do you get that? The nephesh of God, the breath of God finally gets turned on and we truly emulate the image of God and the glory of God shines through us. That's for you. What a blessing. You'll never have to have a nightlight again. Today, as we end this reading, I want to end it this way. In the end, God will separate the good from the bad. Our faith relationship with Christ is paramount to all that we truly are and ever will be. Let us remember that when God looks upon us, He looks upon the heart. And though there are still wicked things in us, how many of us can say amen to that? by the grace of God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, through the sacrifice of His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He has given us a hope unto glory, that we are truly the sons, and yes, ladies, the daughters of our Father in heaven, to whom all glory, laud, and honor belong. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You for these parables. We thank You for the teachings that You give us, that we can come to understand who You are and how we're supposed to be, and understand the kingdom and its intricacies. Because, Lord, as we begin to understand, then we can operate within the parameters that You give us, that all goodness can come into our lives, and that truly we can produce that good crop and be transformed. Because, Lord, I swear, I know, for I've seen it in my own life, that You can take that which was a tear and by the power of Your Spirit turn it into a grain of wheat and have it grow to Your glory. Father God, thank You for that transforming love that You pour out, giving each of us the opportunity to bear good fruit by Your love and through Your changing Spirit. For it is in Your love and Your Spirit that we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.